It has been 1 year since I launched the Passive Project, my membership program for digital product creators. This program is where I teach my students how to market and sell their digital offers and grow their revenue. So today I want to take you on the journey of that first year of running this new program. How has the program changed from what it was originally supposed to be? How have I grown it to over 200 current members? What would I have done differently? What big lessons have I learned? That's all coming up in this behind the scenes, super juicy episode of the Passive Project Podcast. You're listening to the Passive Project Podcast, where we talk about how to build your online business to make more income, more impact, and give you more freedom in your life. I'm Gemma Bonham Carter, business strategist, mom of two, lover of passive income, automation, and coffee. Welcome to the podcast. What's up, you guys? Welcome to this episode. So we just passed the 1 year mark or anniversary of the Passive Project, which I am so thrilled about. It's kind of crazy to me to think that it's been running now for a year. So in case you're new around here or you don't know what this is, the Passive Project is my education program for digital product creators who are ready to learn how to market and sell and scale their digital offers. So whether that's an online course, a membership, some other kind of digital download, it's basically the most incredible membership program out there for digital product sellers, where we tackle, like, our main focus is really getting your sales system really solid. We build out your evergreen sales funnel, and then we talk about diversifying and continuing to see growth in your business. And it's really a one-stop shop for digital product creators. So a lot of our members, you know, come in, I think they probably think they're just going to stay for a couple months and, like, you know, download some material and then peace on out of there, but then realize that really growing and scaling your digital product-based business is a very dynamic, kind of never-ending process, right? We're always wanting to grow our companies and do bigger and better things and make systems work better and attract our audience more easily and make sales more easily and all that kind of thing. So a lot of our members have stayed because it's kind of this amazing spot where we can continue to learn together, and I share all the nitty-gritty details on, you know, what's been going on in my business and what lessons they can learn. It's like the place where I'm very, like, authentic and vulnerable about the behind the scenes of what's going on in my business. So I think, anyway, it's just been an incredible program to create and be a part of. And what I thought I would do today as part of this kind of, like, year in review type thing is take you along the journey of how the Passive Project came to be and what this first year has really looked like, because my hope is that this might actually inspire you to go and craft a digital product without necessarily knowing all the answers, without necessarily knowing exactly how, you know, it's all going to fit together, or knowing all the content already or having created all of it, and show you that this can really happen in a more organic way. So how did it all start? Well, basically a year. So at the beginning of 2019 is when we launched the Passive Project. And at the end of 2018, I had really been moving away from the big focus I had had on my home decor and lifestyle blog, which was thesweetestdigs.com, which I still run and I still love. I just wanted to put it more in a, like, I wanted to take it down and, not take it down off the internet, but, like, take it down in terms of, like, my time spent and just kind of shift it back into that side hustle that it had always been, right? Like, I created that, you know, in the in-betweens times in my, while I had a 9-to-5 job, while I was pregnant, while I had babies at home. And I grew it into this, like, substantial business, but it just wasn't lighting me up in the same way. And I didn't want to be dedicating as much time to it. So I knew that things were going to be coming to an end in terms of running my own online shop that I was doing with that business, working with brands. I'd stopped doing that a few months beforehand. And I really wanted it to basically just be a traditional blog, like me producing blog articles, driving traffic with SEO and Pinterest, and making money through completely passive sources, which is, you know, display ad revenue and affiliate revenue. That was my vision for the Sweetest Digs, just so I could really have it be like a side project. So I knew I was going to be closing up my shop. That was the big thing. And as you may or may not know, my biggest, or I shouldn't say my biggest, but my first online course that kind of took off, did really well, I was able to really scale, was Launch Your Shop, where I teach other bloggers and creatives how to launch their online shops using print-on-demand dropshipping, which is what I had done. And that course, you know, we sold, I had over 500 students come through that program. It was an incredible program. I loved working with those students and I loved the content and I loved teaching. But it felt out of line if I was going to be shutting down my own online shop for the Sweetest Digs. It felt out of line to be continuing to sell that product and to be continuing to teach around that product if I wasn't doing it myself anymore, right? Like, it just felt out of alignment. And I'm sure a lot of you can relate to, you know, having your own business grow in certain ways and having to let go of certain things. And then, you know, it doesn't feel like quite the right fit anymore. I thought if I wasn't the one in the nitty gritty, I like to be in the nitty gritty doing the things right every day. And therefore being able to speak to my students from a very authentic and up to date place. Like, I don't want to be teaching strategies that are going to expire, right? That are going to end up being 3, 4, 5 years out of date. And frankly, I think we all can think of like examples of digital entrepreneurs who have products that are teaching things that they don't necessarily do anymore. And I didn't want to be in that category. So I knew I was going to be closing down Launch Your Shop. And I knew that all kinds of people had been coming to me asking about how I had grown my online course business, because I had grown Launch Your Shop to, you know, I think I started out with like a $700 launch to within a year grossing over six figures just from that one course, which was a $497 course. And so I had all kinds of people asking me how had I done that? How had I, you know, grown this digital offer and really scaled it and grown my audience around it and all that kind of stuff? And I was getting so many questions about it. And I knew that that's really where my next step was going to be. I really needed to be talking about digital products. Like, you can ask my husband, I can talk about digital products all day, every day, you guys. Like, I'm sure he gets so tired of it, but it's like my favorite thing to talk about. I get so riled up and so passionate because I think it can be such an incredible avenue for so many business owners to be able to add to their bottom line. Like, you don't have to only have digital offers, right? You might be a service-based provider. You might be a coach. You might have a physical product business already, or you might be starting from scratch. And I think that no matter what, there's an opportunity for a digital product in any of those business models. And so I love talking about this stuff. I was doing it myself for Launch Your Shop, right? I had learned all kinds of stuff that I couldn't wait to share with you guys. And so I knew that the Passive Project was this idea, like, it was an idea that I had brewing to help other entrepreneurs, you know, build, sell more, and scale their digital product businesses. So I decided to launch it. I decided to go with the membership model instead of the online course model for a few reasons. I wanted to try something different for myself. The other thing was, I knew that in this particular area, especially in selling and scaling a digital product business, things are changing all the time and strategies shift and there are new tools, new tactics, different things that go on in this space. And I just felt like creating an online course with a ton of material that would potentially become outdated relatively quickly was not the right strategy for me. I wanted some sort of platform to be able to continually share up-to-date strategies. And so I felt like the membership model was the best fit because it allowed me to do that. It allowed me to provide monthly content to really help my students grow their businesses in the most kind of up-to-date way. So, and then the other thing was that I knew that I wanted to launch this without having created all the content. And the membership model seemed like a really great fit because I could, you know, release content on a monthly basis that would build up the sort of core content of the membership. So what I did was I launched it, I think it was in early February 2019, to my email list. Now, the thing is, I did have a big email list. Like, my email list at the time was probably around 15,000 people. But here's the thing. They weren't the right audience, right? Like, I had been building this email list full of bloggers and creatives who wanted to launch online shops. So here I was shifting into talking about digital offers, not physical products. And I didn't really know if people were going to be into this because it was different than what I'd been talking about. But I launched it to them anyway. I explained what it was all about. And I launched it literally with no content. Like, I had the most basic thing set up in Teachery, which is my online course platform. I'd created a private Facebook group and maybe a welcome video. And that was it. But what I had done was I'd really thought through the methodology and the things that I was wanting to teach the members inside of the program. And quite honestly, in the beginning, it looked different than it does right now. I didn't actually, in the beginning, have the sole focus around digital product creators. I had kind of tried to jam digital offers, affiliate marketing, and even a little bit of the dropship stuff all into one. Like, I tried to make the content be applicable to all of those business model types, which I quickly realized was not going to be the right fit. So, but I did have this sort of methodology that I went and I had created and sold the course, speaking about that and giving quite a clear, you know, idea of what was going to be coming in the membership. And there would be monthly calls and monthly content and all that kind of stuff. And so even though my audience wasn't really the right audience to be launching that to, the people who were ready to jump in and start adding, let's say, like, digital offers into the mix, or maybe they already had digital products and they wanted to learn more about evergreen email funnels and selling and marketing and all that kind of stuff, there were 40 people who jumped in. And I was thrilled, like, 40 people who joined the membership. In retrospect, I probably should have done a founding member launch where what that means is you get people to sign up for the membership for like a one-time fee where they pay, you know, it might be something like $500 or something, and they never have to pay again. And they're just your founding members who are kind of in there for life. In retrospect, I wish I'd done that. I didn't really know about that model until I took Tribe from Stu McLaren a couple months later. So I just launched with your typical payment options, which was like the month to month. And I think I did give an annual option. But at the time, you know, people didn't really know what this was. So I think 100% of people chose the month to month. And then I just really built out the content. Like, I just focused on creating incredible lessons and templates and tutorials and working with the members and really hearing what they were up to and what their struggles were and connecting in our private Facebook group and connecting in our coaching calls and just focused on building out that content. And eventually what I did was I created an evergreen email funnel to sell the passive project. And so, you know, I teach how to do that inside of the passive project. The basic idea being that there's a pre-recorded webinar and then a series of sales emails that follow that, that open the doors for a limited time for that subscriber to join the program. And so I crafted that funnel. So I'd done the one launch in February, worked on the content a bit, crafted the funnel, got that up and live. I can't actually remember when. I think probably by early April, something like that. And started to make that visible across my platforms. And what I mean by that is the pre-recorded webinar, I started to like shout that from the rooftops everywhere I could, right? Like, whether that be on social media, in my like evergreen content, so whether that's in blog posts or from Pinterest, on my podcast, I started to really try to drive as much traffic as I could to that funnel. And then what I did was I started to run ads. I knew I had a bit of a budget to run ads to that funnel, and I wanted to test to see whether or not I had never done ads to a lower ticket offer like this. So with my ads previously to my online course, it was a $497 course. So I had more wiggle room to spend on getting the right leads into that funnel because it was a higher ticket offer and there was more wiggle room in terms of the profit margin. At this point, the membership at that time was only $47 a month. So I really didn't have a lot of wiggle room to be able to spend too much on getting leads into the funnel and still be profitable. And at that time, because everything was still really new, I didn't know what my average lifetime span of a Passive Project member would be, right? Whether that's going to be 2 months or 6 months or 12 months, I had no idea at that time because it was still really new. So I was all like a little bit in the dark here, but I had this funnel running. It was converting at the time. It was converting at something like around 2.5%, which like wasn't amazing, but that's actually industry standard. Like industry standards, 1 to 2% for evergreen email funnels. So I had that running, and I really did need to build this new audience around this topic, right? I was doing a pivot to talking about digital offers instead of physical products and drop shipping and all that kind of stuff. So I started, running ads. We were trying to figure that out. Building out the content, really starting to build out the content inside of the Passive Project, but also build out the content for my own business, like even this podcast, that would make sure that I was attracting the right people into my audience. And then what I did was I did kind of a last launch of Launch Your Shop in the summer, just to kind of give that one a final push and get some final members in there, because I knew about 6 months later I'd be sort of retiring that course. Not retiring in terms of taking the content away from the members or anything like that, but just not actively selling it anymore. But it always, Launch Your Shop always brought in really good revenue for me, right? So it's not like I could just snip that off right away without having grown the Passive Project, because I would have been majorly in the hole in term from like a revenue perspective. So then September came around and I did a more formal like live launch of the Passive Project. And at this time, a long time had passed since February. I had so much more clarity around my message, around what this offer was. I had, a much better sales page built out. I actually had social proof and testimonials from members inside of the program. I was able to have, a bunch of bonuses. Like the offer just was a much stronger, a much more irresistible offer than it had been up until this point. And so in September, I did your standard launch. I had like a live webinar, lots of hype. I had extra fast action bonuses. We had a lot of emails going out. This was to the whole email list at that time. And we did, this was like the last time we were going to be offering the Passive Project at $47 a month, because at this point, the content, like so much had been built out inside of the Passive Project that I knew it was time to increase the price. So we did have that price urgency during that September launch of this is the last time you can get grandfathered in at that price. So like take it or leave it time, you guys. So we did that launch in September. We welcomed 100 new members, I think like on the dot, which is funny. That was my goal. And I was writing it out in my journal at that time that I wanted 100 new members. And yeah, we hit it like literally, I think, to the T, which, is so weird from like the woo-woo universe perspective. I'm like, oh my goodness, is this journaling thing really working? but anyway, we had, oh yeah, one thing I wanted to mention. We had turned off ads before that September launch. So my evergreen funnel was just getting leads through organic methods at that time, which obviously decreased the number of leads we had going through the funnel. I think we'd done that like in the summer because we'd been finding that it was challenging. It was challenging to get to make the ads profitable enough to really make it worth it. And so when it was only a $47, purchase. So we had turned off the ads in the summer, but we did the September launch. We got 100 new members. We did run some like retargeting ads and stuff during that launch. There was definitely probably a couple thousand dollars of ad spend. I'd have to go back and look at the exact number, but we ran, you know, some webinar ads and some retargeting ads during that launch. And then we kept the ads off to the evergreen funnel. So we didn't turn them on again after September, just because I needed to take a little breather. And I was focusing on a couple of other products and a couple of other things. So we turned off the ads to the evergreen funnel. And I really was also, this is the thing like about launching a product that you don't necessarily have all of the, you don't have all of the content built out yet, was at this time I'd sort of built out the core content of the passive project and then realized that it actually made sense to restructure things a little bit. So between September and December of 2019, I shifted things a bit. So I realized that we had been doing monthly group coaching calls where all the members can hop on. We hop on Zoom. They can ask tons of questions. I just basically do live coaching for about 60 minutes. Sometimes it runs over because I like to answer everybody's questions. And those are always really great. And then one of the other things we'd been doing every month were hot seat calls. And that was where members would apply for a hot seat and then they'd get kind of like a 20-minute one-on-one coaching session with me. And we would do three of them in a row. And so it would be kind of like an hour again. And what I found was that the hot seat calls, I think because we have the group coaching call and they can ask their questions on those, the hot seat calls weren't as, like there weren't as many applications for them as I'd sort of been expecting. They just weren't as, I think just as desirable as I had wanted them to be. I mean, we had enough to do them every month with three different members, but it just wasn't, I think it just wasn't clicking enough with people. And I kind of think part of it was that members felt like they had to get to a certain point before they could do the hot seat, right? Like it can be a little intimidating to think about doing a hot seat, especially if you're like a more introverted person. And so I was kind of feeling that with the members. And so what I realized was I really wanted to shift the hot seats into audits. And so instead of like a 20-minute one-on-one coaching session, what this would look like would be submitting a piece of your marketing collateral. So whether that's like a landing page, a sales page, an email inside your funnel, like whatever that looks like, submitting a piece of that. And then me doing an audit over video where I'm like talking through the audit, giving tons of useful feedback and suggestions and places where things could be edited, and recording that and then making that live in the group so that not only the person who submitted their thing for it, but everybody else can watch it and get some really good feedback. So that was one change that we made. We surveyed our members during this time too, just to get a sense of like what their favorite things were, what they wanted more of, that kind of thing. It's funny when you ask what somebody's favorite things are, it's like you think there's going to be a real trend. And actually, it was like so varied. Like some people just loved the done for you, like templates and swipe files and basically all the things that I create that save them a lot of time. It was like a big group who loved those things. But then there's another big group who like love the coaching calls. Like they just stay in the membership just for the coaching calls. And there's another group who just love the Facebook group. Like they just love having a place to connect with other digital entrepreneurs and ask questions and get feedback and all that kind of stuff. So it's really interesting to see what people liked. And if you have any kind of product, I really encourage you to survey your members or students or clients or whatever it is, because it really can provide such valuable insight into what they really like, because it might be different. And I think like our hot seat shift also came from that survey, right? Like we realized that not enough people were kind of loving the hot seats enough. So, and the other thing we found was like the people who stayed for at least 3 months inside of the passive project and who really showed up, like they attended the calls, they took the lessons, they were doing the work, they were connecting in the Facebook group. Those were the ones who were seeing really giant gains in their business. And so it also showed me like, okay, I need to do everything that I can in order to make sure that people stay for at least 3 months, because that is obviously some sort of like magic sauce starts to happen around that time where things are really starting to click. And I need to make sure that I'm doing things that are going to make sure that they're not coming in and then feeling overwhelmed and then piecing out because it's all too overwhelming for them. So like, how can I make it not overwhelming when a new member joins? And really just trying to think through that retention strategy stuff too. So like having, you know, a more attractive annual option for people to purchase and that sort of thing so that people really understand that this program is really going to work for them if they are committing to it for, you know, a longer term. So that sort of, we did some interesting like changes around that. And so then all of that led to January 2020, where we did another live launch. So during September to December, we still did have the Evergreen Funnel going. It was just only with organic traffic, no paid ads or anything at that time. So people were still coming through it. It was just more slow, right? So we were still getting new members coming in, just at not such a giant pace. And then we did a January launch, which was at the $67 price point. So it had been $67 since September when we made that shift. And in the January launch, because we hadn't been doing, like one thing that was interesting to me was because I didn't do really any ads for the Passive Project at all between, it had been a long time, like between September, even before then, I think it was the summertime until now, until January, it wasn't like we had this giant amount of new email subscribers that had come through the Evergreen funnel, decided not to purchase on the Evergreen, and then get, you know, my whole like strategy is people come through the Evergreen funnel, you know, some buy right in that moment, the fast action takers, but others don't purchase during the Evergreen funnel, but that's not wasted. What happens then is then they stay on my email list. They're getting my weekly emails. We're building that know, like, and trust factor. They see what I'm all about. They see that I'm, you know, not scammy, like that I'm a real person providing real value. And then when it comes time to act, when I open the doors and live launch the Passive Project in a public venue, all of those people are hot leads, right? And they jump in quickly because we've built that connection and they're ready now to hop on in. So one thing with the January launch was it's not like I had increased my email list in a huge way over the last like 4 or 5 months. So I wasn't expecting the most giant launch ever because I hadn't been focused in the fall on bringing in new leads through that funnel. They had just sort of been trickling in from my organic stuff that I have sort of going on autopilot. But I still was able to bring in 50 new members into the Passive Project in that January launch. I actually had the best conversion rate I've ever had. It was like up around 10%, which was by far the best conversion rate that I'd ever had. So that just goes to show you that with time, the messaging and the clarity around your offer really improves. And again, during this launch, it was minimal ad spend. Like I did run some webinar ads to get my warm people to like remember to sign up for the webinar. And then I ran some retargeting ads, as in if somebody landed on the sales page and didn't purchase, there were some ads that encouraged them to head on back to the sales page, that kind of thing. So it was pretty minimal ad spend. And this was all to warm traffic. Like I wasn't going out and trying to get cold leads into this launch. I was just launching to the warm people in my audience already. And so that was great. We brought in those 50 members, which got us up over the 200 member mark at that point, and we're still there now. And what it also meant was I was able to take my January launch content, so like the updated webinar that I'd done, like I always update the webinar every time I live launch. Not, it doesn't have to be like giant updates, but I always do, you know, go through it and like whether it's adding new testimonials and social proof or just tightening up some slides or whatever it might be. So I had my new webinar, which I updated my funnel with, it like my Evergreen funnel, and then I updated the emails and some of the, you know, the copywriting from that into the new funnel, and that now the Evergreen funnel is now converting at over 5%, which is great for an Evergreen funnel. So now we'll be running ads again to that Evergreen funnel and kind of just giving another run at doing paid advertising into that funnel, which is now, you know, the month to month is still now $67. So we have a bit more wiggle room to play. And I also now know the average, you know, lifespan of a passive project member. So that gives me more clarity on, okay, I can expect that I'm going to get like X amount of dollars from my average member. And so therefore, how much can I spend in order to get a customer through paid advertising? Like all of those numbers are now a lot clearer. So that's kind of a new test now that we'll be running ads again to that evergreen webinar. So, or evergreen, sorry, email funnel. So I can update you guys. I could give you like, I could do part two of this episode in a couple months and kind of give you the scoop on whether or not that has panned out. But ultimately, you know, what it has meant and growing the passive project has meant that I was able to retire, launch your shop. And like I said, it's not like people don't, like all of my students in there get lifetime access to that content. So it's not going anywhere. And I actually left the Facebook group up so that if they have questions, like I could still always go in and answer any questions and that kind of stuff. But I'm just not actively selling that program anymore. And it has meant that the passive project has really been able to, you know, be now a bigger part of my like revenue pie as a business owner. And as my member number grows, so we're over 200 members now, it really gives me like more time and flexibility and resources to continually improve and update the program. Because that's the thing, when you first launch something and you're not making a lot of money from it, it's hard to be able to dedicate all of your time to that program that's not making you very much money yet, right? But like as it, you just need to know that you're playing the long game. But then as it grows and you do, you know, pull more revenue from that particular program, you are able to really like pour into it in a much bigger way. And so that's been really exciting for me because I just want to make this like I'm on a mission to just make the passive project the absolute best resource for digital product creators out there. And I feel like we're well on our way to doing that. And so that's super exciting. And then over time, the other sort of lesson learned is like, you really get so much more clarity as you just deliver on your program. Like you can try and get clarity before you offer, you make your offer. But ultimately working with your students and like seeing where they struggle and then seeing how to help get them the results, like that really is the thing that offers you that clarity on exactly, you know, who your product is for, exactly what it does, what that transformation is, and really the tools and the content and the, you know, lessons and the everything that's going to help get them there faster. Like, you might think it's going to be one thing that's like really the best thing that's going to help move them forward, but it actually ends up being something else. And so all of that clarity can only come from like from the doing, right? And my vision, I don't, it feels a little scary to say this on the podcast and make this like a real thing, but my vision is to get the passive project to 1,000 members by the end of the year. So by the end of 2020, I'll check in with you guys and give you an update on whether or not we made it there and how things are going and how we get there. So, whether, you know, cause we're sort of diving back into the paid ads thing, but I'm also, you know, I don't like to put all my eggs into the paid ads basket. And so the other thing is I'm getting back to like being a lot more focused on my organic strategies. So I'm getting back into, you know, making sure that I'm publishing helpful blog posts and using Pinterest again and just getting really visible, like using my partnerships and collaboration strategy that I used a lot in the beginning of 2019. And it worked amazingly well for me. And then, you know, things got really busy in the fall and I kind of let it slide a little bit and I'm committed to not letting that happen again in 2020. So me being the bottleneck on that, I actually have pulled in a team member now to help me with my partnerships and collaborations piece, which is really important as a business owner to grow your leads and grow your audience. It's such an incredibly useful strategy. So when I say partnerships and collaborations, what does that mean? That means, you know, me being on other people's podcasts. It means me doing trainings for other people's communities. It means me getting press features, all of that kind of thing, because that's all free. Those are free leads, and that's free audience generation, right? You just need to, you need to put yourself out there, you need to pitch yourself, and you need to deliver on it. So ultimately, the lessons that I kind of want you to just like, I hope this has been like a useful sort of behind the scenes glimpse at things, but ultimately the lessons I want you to take away from this episode are, you know, launch before you're ready. Like, just test your idea. You do not need to have your thing, whatever that is, a course, a membership, something that you're dreaming of creating. You don't need to have it all created. You don't need to have it all fleshed out. Just put it out there, make the offer, and then watch what happens. And the other thing is, lesson number two, is that ultimately your main focus has to be on getting your customers results, because that's the only thing that matters. If you go and you get your customers incredible results, well, they're going to tell their friends and acquaintances and colleagues about your thing, right? They're going to be shouting your name from the rooftop. They're going to be providing great testimonials and social proof. And we know that testimonials and social proof are one of the biggest deciding factors in somebody purchasing a digital offer, right? And so if you make your focus getting your customer results, I promise you that like the marketing and the growth is just going to happen so much more easily because you're focused on that. Lesson number three is to watch the discussions that are happening inside of your student group. It's to survey your people. It's to be open to changing things up in terms of like, you thought your program should look this way, but maybe it's actually better if it looks that way. And like, just be open to that and have those one-on-one conversations. Like if you can hop on a Zoom call with one of your students, like that's an incredible way to get such good feedback on your offer. And that can feel really scary to do that, but it is so worth it, I promise. Lesson number four is just know that the messaging and the clarity you have around your offer is going to change over time. So that very first sales page that you create for something new, those very first sales emails that you write, know that those are going to change, and remember to go back and change them as things evolve, because all of that is going to get so much stronger as you continue to build and grow your offer. And then the last lesson is, yes, like have your vision, but stick with it. So I think, you know, would have been really easy for me to have gotten those 40 passive project members, but then, you know, I had to really put so much time into creating content, and it's not like I was making tons of money from it yet, and I could have easily had shiny object syndrome and gone on to create something else that maybe seemed more exciting, but I was consistent. I kept putting one foot in front of the other. I just kept delivering and kept focused on what my bigger vision for this offer was, and like knowing where I'm going with it and just being patient in knowing that I will get there. And the only way that I won't get there is if I quit, right? And it's so easy to quit. It's so easy to be like, going to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing and seeing what other people are doing and wanting to do something like that. And just the more you can stick with that original vision and stay true to where it is that you want to be going, the more success you're going to have. So I hope this has been a helpful episode. I hope it's taken you a little bit behind the scenes on how I crafted this new offer, how I grew it in that first year. And then I'll do a recap, if you guys are into it, I'll do a recap at the end of this year, so year number two, to let you know kind of what happened in year number two. So, and you know, this is coming from an entrepreneurial mama, right, who doesn't have a gajillion hours in the day. I have 5 work hours a day, Monday through Friday. And sometimes I'll pull my laptop out in the evenings or on the weekends here and there, but it's rare, you know, it's really rare. So if I can do it, I know you guys can too. And I would love to hear like what questions or what your big aha moments were from this episode, or something you learned or something you're going to take away. So snap a pic or tag me on Instagram at gemma.bonhamcarter with the pic, with your questions. DM me if you want to. I would love to hear from you and hear all about what you're doing in your business to grow your, you know, grow your revenue using digital products. I'll see you guys in the next episode. Are you a digital product creator but aren't seeing the sales you want in your business yet? Not sure how to effectively market your offers and scale them? Don't have an evergreen funnel and live launching system that works for you? Then you need to go register for my free masterclass, Make Mo Money, Honey, How to Grow and Scale Your Digital Product Business. I'm walking you through some of my best tips, like the hybrid marketing method and the bucket system, and letting you in on the three big mistakes I see so many digital entrepreneurs making that are keeping them stuck. This 1 hour could be the thing that radically transforms your business and life. Go register at gemmabonhamcarter.com/class.